Okay, Kavali, guys, this is going to be our second shiur on Bava Metzia. I know it's been a while. Baruch Hashem, thank God for Corona, thank God for Bidud. But now we're back. And I know that most of you are probably past this point, I imagine, though I can't say with 1,000% confidence. But either such way, I think people should be around this point. So, and therefore it should be somewhat familiar to all of us. And I think this is actually a good sugya to talk about because it touches upon a lot of very important yesodos, both from the beginning of the first parak as well as going forward. And this will be a good goodbye to the Muchsakas discussion of Ochsen as it transitions into other discussions of Tofes Labachov, Makosh Chaba Achrini, and etc. And anybody who is having the pleasure and joy of Daf Yud Gimel through Tesvav, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu should, whatever. Okay, anyway, so let's start from the beginning, okay? The Gemara is Adav Zayin Amud Aleph, first source. Tanu Rabbanan Shaim Adukin Bishtar. There's two people who are holding on to a shtar. You should know that we shouldn't get into the question, why is it Adukin? Why is it Ochsin? Is there a difference between Ochsin and Adukin? This should be coming around. Okay, yeah, there's a bunch over there, whoever needs. Malva Omer Shalihi Benafel Mimani Umatzizav. The Malva says it's really mine, and therefore I should be able to collect my loan. I found it. It's really mine, and I really paid back the loan. So what we say is Kaim Shar B'Chosamav. You need to be Miskaim the Shar B'Chosamav, Dibri Rebbe. Rabbi holds that you need to do Kim Sharos in order to collect the loan. Rishim Gamliel Omer Yachloku. Rishim Gila says, no. What do you have to do? You split it, right? You don't have to do Kiyam Sharat. You don't have to be Mekayim the Sharat to authenticate it. You just do Yachloku. Nafli Adayin, Lo Yatzo Olamis. But if it goes to Adayin, then you never are Motin. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Yilgul Chetzkaso. Okay, obviously the Gemara unpacks all of these different shitas as the Gemara continues on. Okay, let's go on to the part we're going to really focus on, the first part of this discussion, okay? The Dukin Mishtar, the Machlokas between Rebbe and Rishon Ben Gamliel. Once again, what does Rebbe say? Yeah. Yiskayim Ashtar B'Chosamav. Rishon Gamliel says, Yachloku. So the Gemara says on that discussion, Amr Mar, Yiskayim Ashtar B'Chosamav. Do you really have to do Kiyam Shtaros in order to authenticate it, to collect Vigavile Milva Kulei? So let's say I do Kiyam Shtaros. What does that mean? Does that mean the Malva now could collect the entirety of the loan? Right? But what about... I just lost where I was. Leslie Masnisan Shaim Ochsen Metalis. Do they not hold that if two people are holding on to something, there's Muchzakas on both ends, and therefore what should be the halacha? Okay. It should be Yachloku, right? So why does it say Kim Sharas? It makes it sound like I could be go over the entire thing. I'm a Rav Nachman. No, that's not the case. But Mukuyam Divriya Kol Yachloku. No. If the Sharos are Mukuyam, they already have Kim Sharos, they've been authenticated and based in, and we know it's a legit star, so then halacha is Yachloku, nothing to talk about. Ki pligi, when they are, yibishainu mukuyim, when there is no kiyim sharos, okay? When there's no kiyim sharos. Rebbe Savar, modi bishtar shakosvo, saril chakaimo. Rebbe is of the opinion that if I admit to a star that I was part of, that it's a legit star, I still have to do kiyim sharos. It's not good enough. It doesn't stand by itself as being a good enough star. And if I do the Kiyam Sharos, then I do the Yachloku. My time of Kasva Amu. Because the Shtar is worthless. The Shtar has no value whatsoever without Kiyam Sharos. Man Kamashi Le Shtar Alova. Who can violate? Why? The Svara that seems to say, and the Rishonim speak this out more clearly, is because I have a Pesha Aser. Who have Pesha Hitir? We have a Migo. Do we know what that means? Did Migo come up in Bava Kama at all when you guys learned it or no? It's got to be in for Bava Basra, I guess. Yeah. Okay. What's the Migo? The Migo is as follows. Migo means I could have said something else if I really wanted it to win. Correct? That's what a Migo is. Okay? Well, if we have time, we'll get into some of the famous lumbus, the Ruhana Migo, which comes up in this discussion as well. That's only if we have time. But basically, he says as follows. What could the Loba have said? The Loba could easily have said, that's on my star. It's fake. It's a forgery. And since he could have said it's a forgery and there's no Kiyam Shtaros, right? So then what do we say? So we should believe him when he says that it's mine. If I really was lying, I would have just said that the Shtar was a false Shtar. Therefore, even though Mode Bashar Shakasa, according to Rebbe, what's the halacha? Sarach HaKaimo, I still have to do Kiyum Sharos. I need to establish that the Shtar is good enough, a good enough proof by itself, even without the Hoda of the Lova. That's a Shita of Rabbi. What does it just was Rishon Gamliel Savar? What does he hold? Modim Shar Shikasu ain't Sarach LaKaimo. No, because the Lova admitted that the Shtar is a proper Shtar. There's no Kiyum Sharos necessary. That's good enough as it is, okay? So we have a machlokas between Rebbe and Rishon ben Gamliel. Of number one, mod de bishar shekasvo, whether you are tzarech l'kaimo or not. According to Rebbe, you still have to do kiyum sharos. According to Rishon ben Gamliel, you don't have to do kiyum sharos. And that will bring us an afkamina when it comes to our discussion, whether you do yachloko immediately or whether you still need to do kiyum sharos. Okay. Now what we're going to do is we're going to move on to... Which we go? Oh, did I left it off. I apologize. Give me 1 second. Yeah, we need to go. Sorry, I did not order the sources properly. Go down to the next Gemara, Baba Kama, Zion and Mabez, okay? That's the next Gemara we're going to analyze. So, right, if you remember the Gemara a little bit, the Gemara goes on to have a discussion and analyze what does it mean, Nafali Adayin, Yatzalamis, etc. What happens if the Shtar ends up in the hands of Adayin? We're not going to discuss this now. We're going to go to Amabez. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Machlokas, the Machlokas between Rebbe and Rabbi Shimon Mekam Liel, about whether there's Yachloku with or without Kiyum Sharos. This is an entire discussion. Bishineim Adukim Betofes, Bishineim Betoref. That's if they're both holding what? Both areas of the Shtar, whether it's the Tofes or the Toref, okay? Aval echad echad aduk betofes, the echad betoref. But let's say one is only onto the Tofes, and the other one is only onto the Toref. Zeh notal Tofes, zeh notal Toref. What do they take? They take the area in which they're holding. Good so far? Rabbi Yochanan Amar, la'olam chokin, what are you talking about? We're splitting based on Tofes and Toref? No, you always do yachloku. Even if they're holding on to different parts of the star, don't we learn that I take in terms of, let's say, we're both holding onto a talus. Reuven and Shimon are holding onto a talus. So Reuven takes up until where his hands are. And Shimon takes up until his hands are. So therefore, where you're physically holding should make a difference. Lo Trika, the Katarif being Torif be Mitzrayim. Let's say the Torif is in the middle. Torif being the more important part. Why? Because what does the Torif have?
Date.
The date, the Zman, right? That's the Zman. Zman tells me when I can be Gova from the Chasim Mishubadim. Ihachi Maile Memra. That's in the middle. Obviously, you're going to split it. Lo Trika, the Mikarlo Gabi Lechada. Well, let's say it's closer to Reuven than to Shimon, even though it's in the middle. So what are we going to say? Ma de sema amrlei palguhachi masula damrlei ma chazes palguzachi palguhachi. Okay, that part's not so important for us now. Either such way, if the Torah's in the middle, we split it 50-50. That's not the point. Okay. Amrlei Rav Achim Edifti Lervina Lerav Elazar. Damer zed no tov tovei zed no tov Torah lamali. I don't get it. Why does one of them take the Torah and the Tofes? What does that make it sound like? V'chil Torah pleitz l'chusav v'tzarech. But I'm going to actually split the shtar in half and use it for to cover my bottle and use it for a bottle cap? Is that really what I'm going to do? That doesn't make any sense. Amrlei no l'dami. What does it mean? Yeah. The value of the shtar. Okay, the value of the shtar. The Amar haki shtar yidis beizman kamashaveh. V'les beizman kamashaveh. How much is the value of a shtar with it? And how much is the value of the shtar without it? And that's how we assess the value. B'shar this bezman gav mishadei b'idach lo gav mishadei yahav lehich debeni beni. So we figure out what's the difference between a shtar that has zman versus a shtar without zman, and then that's the difference about who's holding onto the Torah versus the Tofes. Okay, so a couple of things that we need to analyze over here. Number one, we see that there's this discussion about holding onto a Torah versus the Tofes. Exactly, how does that come out halacha l'maisa? Number two, we really also have to focus on what was the havamina. What's the Havamina to cut the Shtar in half? Was that a real Havamina? Was that a legit Havamina? If that's a legit Havamina, what's the Maskana? What does it mean, Ladame? How do we understand Ladame? Okay? So different Shittas in the Rishonim, which are going to highlight different aspects of the Sugya and very important concepts within the Halachos of Mamun Amut al-Safik. Okay. So what I want to start with is Rashi versus Tosfos. Okay? Rashi versus Tosfos. Rashi, going back to Dav Zayin Amabez, tells us something very interesting. What does Rashi say? Zayin beis shtar is beis zman kamashabe. How much is a shtar that has zman in it? So what does Rashi say? Do you remember? Rashi says that, and I don't want to get into the discussion of Shita Achrona. You know what I'm talking about? Shita Achrona, the last line of the shtar, whether it's valuable or not. That's an area where Tosos really asks questions on Rashi. But I don't want to discuss the value of Shita Achrona now. There's certainly a lot to discuss there. But I want to focus on is the last line of Rashi. What does Rashi basically say? Rashi says that the value of whoever's holding onto the Tofes with the Torah is going to be exactly the same. Because the information contained within the Torah and the Tofes are going to be the same. They're going to repeat what's ever in the Torah in the Tofes. We good so far? Meaning, the Malva, the Lova, Reuven owes Shimon $100, that's in the Torah, it's also in the Tofes. What's the only difference, which is not there? What's the only difference? What?
The Zman,
right? And that tells us whether I can be collect from... What?
That itself makes it more expensive.
Right, correct. That makes it right. Exactly. That's what we're focusing on. Right? Well, Rashi points out something very interesting. If I'm really mamish splitting the shar, right? What is going to be in one part of the shar that won't be on the other part of the shar that I have yet to mention? What authenticates the shar? Kiyam sharas. Okay, but yeah?
Signatures.
Excellent. The signatures of the Edom. So let's say I split it in half. So Rashi says, there's no difference. Why? What do you mean? I'm missing the Chasima Sayyidim. So anybody remember what Rashi says? Why, it doesn't matter?
Because they'll be in the top also.
No, because that's the Zaman and the Malkum, no?
No, but anybody remember what Rashi says? Look at the last line in this Rashi.
Because Ain Tzarech L'Kaimo.
Why? Because Moda B'Shar Shekasvo, Ain Tzarech L'Kaimo. This is obviously within the Shita of Rav Shimon Gamliel, right? Rav Shimon Gamliel, let's chazer again, Rav Shimon Gamliel was of the opinion that if I admit the shtar exists, the lova says, yes, that's my shtar. Ain tzarech l'kaimo, I don't need kiyam sharos. That's the shita of Rav Shimon Gamliel. So it says Rashi, well, since I admitted to it, and I'm splitting the shtar in half. So then, I don't need the edim. That's the shita of Rav Shimon Gamliel. Because it's already been authenticated, because I admitted. However, Tosos doesn't like it. Why? Because what does Tosos say? Wait a second. I know I don't need kiyam sharos. But what's the value of a shtar without edim? That's not a shtar. Right? There's a difference of, writing. I'm sorry, in my head, something very funny popped in, but we'll talk about that afterwards. We're being recorded. What's going on again? There's a difference between me writing an IOU on a piece of paper without any, that doesn't necessarily have any legal, halakhically binding issues. Do you know what I'm saying? You need stuff in order to authenticate it. So it says to us, it's very nice, Rashi, that all of them are repeated, and it's very nice he admitted to it, but that's not a shtar. They're holding on to a random piece of paper. They're holding on to a baseball card. They're holding on to anything that says stuff on it which doesn't make it true. So that's Tosis Kasha and Rashi. Therefore, what Tosis ends up saying, and this is like fancy Tosis, but we don't have to get into this right now, Tosis ends up saying, it must be, this is what he says, it must be, because if we split it in half, Imamish wouldn't be valuable to anybody, that any element of the shtar, which is indispensable, which makes it into a shtar, is machshir as a shtar, must be that we both own that 1,000%. But what is not necessary for a shtar? What can make a shtar without a shtar? The Zman, right? If I write a shtar without Zman, is it still a good shtar? I just can't collect from Nechassim Meshubadim. And therefore, that's the element of Tosos that we could, quote unquote, split based on where it's at. But everything else, we own 100%, 100%. A good way to think about this. We're both holding on to the shtar, right? So how does it work? Does that mean that I own 50% of the shtar and the other guy owns 50% of the shtar? Or the way that we view it is I own 100% of the shtar and he owns 100% of the shtar. So Rashi's of the opinion I own 50% and he owns 50%, the 50% which is by me. Tosos saying, no, we both own 100% of the shtar, except for the part which I don't need, which is the Chasima Se'idim. Okay, good. So number one, we have one machlokas about whether the Chasima Se'idim are important for a shtar or not. We good so far? That's point number one that we need to think about, okay? Are the Chasima Se'idim important for a shtar or not? Yes?
So Tosos, his question on Rashi, meaning when he would have to say that obviously a shtar without Edim is not a shtar. And we need, meaning you don't need Kiyum Ashtar, but you need Adim.
Right.
So he's saying at least have
just to be very clear, Kiyum Sharos is a din derabanan. We should be aware of this. Kiyum Sharos is a din derabanan. The Gemara says, "Call me shenechta malshar. Call Adim shenechta malshar. Kimi shenechta yavi dusim dami." Any star which has chasima sa'idim on, it's as if it's already been checked out in court, and you don't have to worry about it. That's din d'oraisa. I mean, d'rabbanan, we require kiyum sharos.
So Tosfos would say, just have fake signature on it.
What do you mean, just have fake signature on it?
Meaning, you need edim, but you don't need kiyum ashtar. So what's kiyum ashtar without edim?
Oh, kiyum ashtar, no. You don't need kiyum ashtar, which means I don't have to go to Beis Din and say, and find and track down these edim to see whether these are real people. I don't have to know whether the people signed it is really Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck.
You need a signature on it.
No, of course I need signatures, because there's a chazaka that once somebody signs on the shtar, it must be a good shtar.
Right, so Rashi's saying you don't necessarily even need the
signatures. Rashi's saying I don't even need the signatures. Correct.
So he's saying have a forged, at least it's have a forged signature.
Why have a forged signature? Why is it forged?
Because you don't need to back it up, so you just need some writing.
No. Like I said, mida oraisa, there's no assumption, there's no reason to assume that that it's forged. It's only a chiyav midrabbanan to do kiyum sharos.
Alright.
Okay. So let's bring it back over here. Okay, so we have number one, so we have machlokes between Rebbe and Rashbag. Another machlokes we have ready is between Rashi and Tosfos about how do we view the necessity of Edim on a shtar. According to Tosfos, it's not a shtar. According to Rashi, it's fine as long as I admit to it. Great. Okay. Next thing which I want to do with you is if you could jump down to Tosfos. What does Tosfos say in Zayin Amebez Dibur Maskel V'Yachloku? If you see that, it's the second to last source on the sheet. V'Yachloku Nami L'Dami. So what does Tosfos say? Tosfos reads the Havimina as follows of the Gemara, and I don't really want to get into the Shakamatari of it. It's going to get us a bit confused. But what Tosfos says is as follows. What was the Havimina of the Gemara that we're going to split the shtar? Says Tosfos, there was never ever a Havimina that we're going to split the shtar physically. Ever. Why? Why was there never a Havimina to split the shtar physically?
You need the entire
shtar. What?
You need the entire shtar.
Because what am I doing? I'm destroying the entire value of the shtar. It's not going to be worth anything. Do we remember the Hemshech of the Gemara? Just like Tosfos proves his point. He says, what does Tosfos say? It must be that we split things monetarily. Why? Because otherwise you'll ruin the talus. Because if I split the talus in half, then it's going to mess up the talus for somebody. I have a question. What's more valuable? A coat which is cut in half or a shtar which is cut in half? The coat. So how could the coat be the raya for the shtar? Doesn't make sense, right? Like you're losing the value completely if you cut the shtar in half. You hear what I'm saying? So Tosfos says, let me just finish Tosfos and I'll take a question, man. Tosfos says, what's the case? The Havimina was that I would split the shtar of how much it's based off the value. Its actual value. Meaning, what does the shtar say? Ruvein o Shimon, $100. So what does it mean, I do Yachalko? What does that mean? 50-50. That means Ruvein pays back Shimon 50. This way they each get their $50, right? And the maskana is, according to Tosfos, what do I do? I include this mod for sure.
And the
karga meshubah. I mean, I'll rate that would be included as well. But, says Tosfos, what do? I don't split the shtar in that way, but I split the shtar in the following way. I go to the shuk, and I say to people, hello, I have an IOU. Anybody want to buy it? I have an IOU from that Reuven owes Shimon $100. So anybody want the ability to have Reuven owe them $100. And I'm going to sell you that right. Right? I'm going to sell you that debt. That's what Tosfos says. Tosfos says, I'm going to sell you the debt. And that's why he said it's a good riot going on to the, the talis. What am I doing with the talis? What do we do in the end? I go to the shuk and I sell the talis. And then I split it. So too, what am I doing? I go to the shuk, I'm selling the shtar, and I'm splitting it. Yes? We good so far? Great. What?
You read that into...
What?
How does that difference help me? The value is so...
Oh, the Havimina was that I take whatever it says in the shtar, $50, $100, and I split it to you and Shimon. But if I'm going to bring that to the shuk, I'm not going to pay $100 for the chance that Reuven's going to pay me back $100. I'll pay $75 on that. Right? What would you rather, $100 in your pocket or the potential of $100 that may come to you? Okay. Right, you want the security, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So that's how Tosfos understands the Gemara. However, the Rambam has a radically different way. So go, take a look at the Rambam. You have to flip the page, I apologize. We'll skip the Rashba and the Ram, because whatever. Press for time. Says the Rambam as follows. Says the Rambam, Shtayim ha'at shein ochsen b'shtar. There are two people holding onto a star. Hamalva omer shalihi votziyasav li para mimcha v'alova omer parati umveni nafal. Machlok is our Gemara, right? Notice, what does the Rambam not add? Tovis Torib. Okay, excellent. The Rambam does not have Tovis and Torib, and he doesn't pass in that way. And all the Nosekelim and all try to understand why. The Magen Mishnah, Shach, all try to understand why, but we're not going to get into that right now. Im haya shtar sheyachol l'kaimo zeh nishba she'in lo b'damim afilo pachos mechatzia v'zeh yishba she'in lo b'damim pachos mechatzia v'yishalim lo mechatzia. So what do we do? We do kiyum sharos, and then afterwards we make them take a shvua, and then what we do, we split it. Okay. What does the Rambam not say? The Rambam does not say that we do the market value, but rather we do the face value of the shtar, what the shtar actually says. Right? Different than Tosfos. I'll just show you the line of Tosfos, what I'm talking about. Go back to the Tosfos just so you can see it. So I'm not. You can tell that I'm not lying. The ein cholken as a chov kemosha kasa b'shtar. We're not going to split it the way that's written in the shtar. Ela kemosha shavel limchor mizeh. How much you would be able to get in the shuk for the value of the shtar? Yipara chatzi. Then you pay that amount. Okay. Then he says di tema, because if you don't say that way, then you get into issues with the rest of shakar mitarya. So what do we see over here? We have a machlokas. Okay. Can I write on the board? Is that good? Okay. On the one hand, we have one machlokas between. We started from the beginning with the machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos in terms of what? Shtar, Bali, Edim. Right? What does Rashi say? It's what?
If you're Moda, then it's in Kaim.
Correct. Yachal Ligvos, you could collect Im Hodas Haloga. Good? And what else do we have? That's Rashi. What does Tosfos say? That what? Bali chasimas ha'edim eina nechshav ke shtar. It's not called the shtar without edim. Good? Great. We have another machlokas. What's the machlokas? Between the Rambam and Tosfos. Is this okay that I'm doing this? Why not? Okay, what does the Rambam say? When it says that we do yachloku on shtayim aduk mishtar, what does it mean? Yachloku av shtayim adukin bishtar. Oops, sorry. So how's it go? So what does the Rambam say?
Face value.
Achov atzma, right?
How do you read that into the Gemara?
We'll get to that in a minute. Just let me finish up with over here. What does Tosfos say?
How much you could sell it for.
Right, how would you call this? Shavuy shtar b'shuk. Right? The value of the shtar in the shuk. Okay? So what's the machlokas here? What's really going on over here? Okay? So if you weren't paying attention up to this point, now it's time to pay attention. Because now we're going to tie it all together. We'll feel good and warm and fuzzy on the inside and feel like, wow, we really accomplished something. So, it could be what's going on over here is actually a really fundamental issue about how we view a shtar. What is a shtar? You tell me. What's a shtar?
Sale
document. What? Okay, it's a document. The sale document. What does it do?
Insurance?
Okay. Insurance to what?
Insurance so you don't get robbed.
So you don't get robbed. Okay. Insurance that I don't get robbed. Meaning it has its own independent value. Is that what you're saying?
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, let's go with that one. Okay, so there's really two ways, Ben's excellent, fantastic. There's two ways to view a shtar, honestly, okay? There's two fundamentally different ways to view a shtar. One way to view it is that a shtar is just telling you the mitzias that happened, right? It's telling you over, it's an indication about what is going on there out in the world. But it doesn't have independent value as a shtar. And the other way to understand is, no, there are certain ways in which we are able to be mevarer things. There are certain rayas kochos that we have in the world of Choshen Mishpat. Ashtar is one of them. It's its own independent entity. Yes? This, perhaps, is the machlokes that is going on in our sugya. Let's start with Rashi and versus Tosos. So what does Rashi say? Rashi says, Mode b'shar shekasvu eitzarach l'kaimo, and therefore I don't even need. Eidim, and was supposed to say, what are you talking about? If you don't sign the government forms in the place where you're supposed to sign them, it doesn't work, right? Ever like online when it says, you know, you press click because you're putting in a form and it says, no, you missed that red star of where, you know, those things were mandatory? Like, what do you mean? Like, you really need to know my fax number? We don't have fax machines anymore. Do you know what I mean? Like, whatever. So, what's going on over here? According to Rosh, according to Tosfos, what is Tosfos saying? A star is a star. It's its own independent, valuable thing. And you know what? Has rules to make it into a star. What makes it into a star? Chasimah Se'edim. You know what Chasimah Se'edim? I don't care that he admitted that it's true. That has no value. There's no koach there. That's not a star. But according to Rashi, what's Rashi saying? A star is not anything more than an indication about what's going on in the world. So therefore what? If the Lova admits that he's part of this, that he owes the money, so what do I care whether there's Edom or not? Isn't the star just there to tell me what already took place? And if it's there to tell me what already took place, I don't care whether there's Edom. Mode b'shar shekasvo, eitzarach l'kaimo ve'afil eitzarach Edom. And maybe perhaps it's also what's going on in the machlokas between the Rambam and Tosfos. According to Tosfos, what is Tosfos saying? You take the star to the shuk. Why? Why are you taking the star to the shuk? What else do you take to the shuk to sell? What else do you take? Anybody? What else do we take to the shuk to sell that we're going to do yachalku on, people? The talis! Why are we taking the talis shuk? Because the talis is independently important. We're not slicing it in half. It has its own independent value. So the same way we take the talis to the shuk, so to the shtar is no different. The shtar also is its own independent valuable thing, and therefore, what are we doing yachalku on? We're doing yachalku on the entity of the shtar. So we got to sell the shtar and see how much it's worth. What is Tosos? He's Lishitaso. Yes? They both admit that. What am I viewing? It's about this, the value of the star, because the star itself is independent. But according to the Rambam, what am I doing? I'm splitting the chov. Why? Because is the star anything more than just telling me who owes who money? No, I'm not going to the shuk to sell this. I want to know. Reuven and Shimon are holding out to a star. Reuven says, Shimon owes me $100. Shimon says, no, I paid you the $100. Okay, so there's something in the star that's going to tell me that. It's not about what that's indicating what really took place. They're both holding out to it. They're both mukhsak. Good, we'll do 50 of what the star is telling me. But not because the star itself is this independent entity that I'm going to be arguing on. Rather, just an indication about what is going on out there in the world, who owes who money. And therefore, perhaps a way that we can understand the sugya of Shayim Adukim Ishtar and whether there's Eidim or not is what is the status of Ishtar? Is Ishtar there just to verify, to give us an indication about what happened out there in the world? Or does Ishtar have its own independent status, its own independent value? The same way that I'm going to sell the talis and the shuk in order to do Yaakov, I got to sell the Ishtar. And the same way that that there are certain tanayim in order to be machshir something, a star is not going to have any value whatsoever without the chasim ha'seidim. And perhaps that's what's going on in this sugya, this seder. Okay.